Welcome to the Clifford Chance podcast, where our experts discuss pressing issues and trends faced by the business world today. My name is Laura Chamberlain, and today I'm talking to Josh Fitzhugh. Josh is one of Clifford Chance's preeminent experts on national security law and foreign direct investment. He has been advising on the topic for nearly 20 years as both outside and in-house counsel. He is particularly knowledgeable about the US foreign direct investment law administered by the US government. As CFIUS issues have been arising with increasing regularity for our clients, both within and outside of the US, we'll be discussing the key trends and developments. I'm also hoping that Josh can provide some real-life examples and some tips for managing CFIUS risk.
So CFIUS is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, which is an interagency committee of the US government tasked with reviewing non-US investment in US businesses. So traditionally, parties have submitted voluntarily to the CFIUS process. So it was not historically a mandatory requirement. But the benefits of submitting voluntarily were that the government could not then come back after the deal was closed and force you to modify or unwind the transaction. So that is their power. Ultimately, CFIUS can block a transaction that hasn't happened. If it has happened, they can come in and force the parties to divest. So the intention behind CFIUS has always been to manage the perceived national security risk to the United States from non-US investment. It was initially created in World War I to address risks of German investment in the U.S. defense industry. And over the subsequent 100 years, it has addressed different national security risks in different contexts over time. But most recently, the threat is really perceived to be coming primarily from two developments. The first one is China and Chinese investment in U.S. technology companies in particular. The second being technology in and of itself, the fact that we are at a pivotal point in the evolution and disruption that technology is having for all of our lives. And so some of this can be really encapsulated and captured in one of the most recent divestitures ordered by CFIUS of Grindr. So the fact that Grindr presents a national security issue really kind of highlights how CFIUS has changed and what it means not just for social media or dating apps like Grindr, but more generally.
Such an interesting example. I'm sure that there are many people that would never imagine that you would be speaking about a dating app in the context of CFIUS and national security. Technology, obviously key. Also want to touch on the piece around China, Grindr being a US company with Chinese investors. At the a recent European forum that you spoke about actually just last week, it was really interesting to see how much emphasis there was on both technology and China. So maybe we can start by exploring the implications of CFIUS on China.
So primarily the interest that CFIUS has in Chinese investment comes from the fact that across the U.S. government, a consensus has evolved over the past 5 years of the national security threat that is posed by China as a whole and Chinese investment in the United States, and in particular Chinese investment in digital and technology companies. So this, I want to emphasize, is not a Trump administration initiative. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration is certainly very involved and on board with increased scrutiny under CFIUS of Chinese investment in the United States, but it actually started under the Obama administration. There is bipartisan consensus amongst Republicans and Democrats in Congress and across the administration that the Chinese investment in the United States poses national security challenges for the United States, and that those should be dealt with through the CFIUS process, amongst a number of others. So China hasn't really helped this case a lot by issuing a roadmap for its technological development called Made in China 2025, which lays out a number of sectors and technologies in which China intends by the year 2025 to be dominant around the world. And so the U.S. government has reacted to that by focusing on those sectors and identifying them as particular areas of risk for investment from China. There is also a perception in the U.S. government that Chinese investment often is not commercially driven, that it is actually intended to achieve national objectives of China, including advancement towards the China Made in China 2025 objectives. So, as you mentioned, data is one element. It's a relatively new element of perceived national security risk. But all of them share some common characteristics, which is various elements of technology nowadays are provide both often civil uses and civil benefits, social media being one of them, but also now increasingly national security issues. If they're not useful for advancing national security, they may pose national security threats. Social media is a classic case where the data collected can be used for blackmail purposes, it can be used for geolocation, and it can be used to create an overall profile of individuals, of groups, of trends that are all perceived to present national security challenges. So the alleged Russian hacking of the U.S. election in 2016 is a classic example, where social media was used to identify particular sensitivities and issues in particular U.S. populations and to target those for messaging from the Russian government intended to affect U.S. So that technology is all coming together in ways that present investment into the United States there's a much broader lens of potential national security issues arising in transactions that historically would not have raised national security questions. So it just means that the CFIUS review process is now much more expansive, and there are many more transactions that actually trigger CFIUS interest that would not have done so previously.
It's both fascinating and terrifying, I think, in equal measure. You only have to look at the papers to realise that the scrutiny has increased to a point that a number of deals have been impacted. And you just touched on transactions a moment ago. Can you give some examples of where deals have been blocked or unwound as a result of CFIUS?
Certainly. So there have been, I think, 6 deals that are publicly known that have been blocked or unwound since 2016. Prior to that point, I think there may have been 2 or 3 in the whole total history of CFIUS. So taking a few of these as illustrative examples of the trends that we're seeing in CFIUS reviews nowadays. Going back to 2016, the Aixtron case, that was a Chinese acquisition of a German entity. That German entity had a U.S. subsidiary. And because of the U.S. subsidiary, there was CFIUS jurisdiction. The U.S. government was uncomfortable with the Chinese acquisition of that particular subsidiary, and so they blocked the transaction. As a result of that blockage, there was also a national security review in Germany, which had originally determined to allow the transaction. The German government then came in after the fact and said, no, blocked the transaction as well. Primarily, it is perceived because of the result that CFIUS came to. So then in 2018, there was the Qualcomm-Broadcom acquisition. Qualcomm is a major U.S. manufacturer of semiconductors, including chips used in 5G technology. Broadcom is a Singaporean entity that was trying to acquire Qualcomm in a hostile takeover. The U.S. government blocked that transaction primarily out of concern that if Qualcomm was acquired by a non-U.S. entity, that might disadvantage investment in 5G technology in the United States, which would ultimately benefit China. So even though it was not a Chinese investor, it had implications for who gets to control the standards and lead the pack when it comes to 5G technology and rollout. So then also in 2018, HNA was a Chinese entity that owned a commercial office building in Manhattan. Nothing particularly sensitive about that building as a whole. Typically, real estate in urban settings won't raise national security concerns. However, in this instance, one of the tenants of that building was the New York City police precinct that provides security for Trump Tower. And as a result of that, that created a sensitivity, and CFIUS came in and directed the Chinese entity to sell that that asset. And then finally, coming back to Grindr, this was 2 or 3 months ago now, news came out that Grindr, which had been acquired initially by Chinese entity Kunlun in 2016, that Kunlun had been ordered to divest from Grindr. The fact that 200 people with clearances who are signed up on Grindr all converge on a certain point at a certain point in time may suggest that the U.S. government is addressing a national security issue at that point, and then cross-referencing against what their role profiles or their job descriptions are. Their portfolios may actually tell you quite a bit about what that issue is. I think there was concern in the U.S. government that if you have lots of data which individually may not be particularly sensitive, that can be collected and aggregated with other data, what it also then suggests is that there are very few areas of the national economy or life in general at this point which don't present CFIUS national security risks that would be of interest to CFIUS. And so we are seeing as a result of that significantly increased interest in the CFIUS process and what it means for companies that collect data. It's also probably worth noting in relation to Grindr that had Kunlun and Grindr submitted for CFIUS clearance back in 2016 at the date of the original investment, I think it is quite likely that they would have been approved because back then the U.S. government was not so focused on the sensitivities that data can present. Had they been approved, the U.S. government could not then have come back in 2019 and forced Kunlun to divest from Grindr. So that voluntary submission can provide significant benefits down the road in terms of certainty for your investments.
So you've spoken a little bit there about deals that were unwound or blocked. Are there any deals or transactions, particularly from Chinese investors, as we're on the topic of Chinese investors, that you think would actually have success, the good chance of success in today's environment?
Certainly, yeah. So, there is a lot of press about the deals that don't make it through, but there isn't quite as much press about deals that do make it through. So, investment, even from China, is usually seen as non-threatening if it is purely passive. So if there are no board rights, no rights to confidential information of the U.S. business, no ability to dictate or control the decision-making of the U.S. business, then it usually will present fewer CFIUS issues, and the clearance, it may not need to be submitted for clearance, or if it is submitted for clearance, clearance rates may be are substantially higher. And then investments in particular sectors, that there are still sectors out there that don't raise a lot of national security issues. If it is a traditional industry with very limited data exposure, not in the defense sector, those are having pretty good success rates in terms of getting clearance. And then real estate transactions, typically one can go in and take a look at where real estate is located, who the tenants are, and make a relatively good assessment about the potential CFIUS risk there. So a lot of those are being cleared through, but they are still being reviewed.
And what about if you're not a US entity and you're only investing in Europe? Is CFIUS still relevant in that context?
Absolutely. So we see a lot of transactions where it is a Europe to Europe investment but there is a U.S. subsidiary. Those transactions will all be potentially subject to CFIUS review. Anytime you have a nexus with the United States in terms of a U.S. business, those can be subjected to CFIUS review. So in any transaction, it behooves the parties to understand where are their offices and their affiliates. If any of them are in the United States, they will probably at least want to ask the question about, is CFIUS going to be relevant to the transaction?
And just moving away from China again, what about those outside of China who are investing in the US? Is there as much scrutiny on those countries?
There's certainly scrutiny on non-Chinese companies, non-Chinese investors into the United States. It is significantly lower than the scrutiny that's applied to Chinese investors. But we have certainly seen transactions where the U.S. government has national security concerns that it identifies even in relation to U.S. allies. And so we had a transaction with an Asian entity that was investing in some property in the southwest of the United States. And that property was not too far away from a significant military installation. And so while the deal was cleared eventually by CFIUS, they requested significant mitigation measures. So that they imposed upon the parties certain requirements that would limit the access to those facilities by non-U.S. persons, for instance, and things like that that would address the concerns that CFIUS had identified. And that was a relatively close U.S. ally as well. So those transactions do get scrutiny, and they have to be approached appropriately, but they are significantly more likely to clear than Chinese investment.
Excellent. Some really good examples. Really appreciate you sharing those, and I'm sure you could share many, many more. It would be great to hear a little bit about the tips that you would share with the listeners for managing CFIUS risk.
Certainly. So some of the key themes that I think you will have heard throughout this discussion are really what I would highlight. So the first one is the importance of due diligence cannot be overstated. Really, that needs to be done early and thoroughly, because the exposure to CFIUS and the risk that CFIUS presents to a particular transaction can hinge on things as small as one product or one product line produced by the U.S. entity, that it may be almost insignificant in terms of the overall corporate transaction, but that one small piece of activity could dictate not only whether CFIUS has jurisdiction, but how likely they are to clear, and whether CFIUS filing is actually mandatory now as opposed to voluntary as it has been historically. And if there is a mandatory filing requirement and that's not done, the penalties can be up to the value of the transaction. Likewise, the entity of the investors. So on the buy side, they really need to understand who are the people who are investing in this U.S. entity, who are the beneficial interests involved, where are they getting their money, what are their intentions with respect to the U.S. business, and how are they perceived by the U.S. government in terms of threat level. So doing that due diligence early and comprehensively is increasingly important. Secondly, I would say parties really ought to be thinking about CFIUS and other foreign direct investment, because the U.S. is not the only country that has these types of regimes. Thinking about it strategically early in the planning for a transaction, rather than as a regulatory hurdle that needs to be overcome once the deal has been signed. So historically, that I think that has been the approach, that parties have dealt with CFIUS review as something that needs to happen pre-closing, but not necessarily something that needs to be planned for as part of the assessing the deal as a whole. And that really is changing now. So whether a deal can clear CFIUS now may depend on some of these strategic issues and how strategically the parties approach that transaction. So are they structuring the deal in order to minimize CFIUS concerns, which may mean who are the investors, so limiting Chinese or other investment of concern, It may be the rights of control that are involved in the transaction. It may be what types of technologies or business lines may need to be carved off from the transaction in order to isolate those areas that may create national security risks and not have them as part of the overall deal.
It certainly sounds like companies need to be much more on the front foot when it comes to CFIUS. Do you have any last comments that you'd like to make?
There is a lot of press about all the deals that don't make it through. Mm-hmm. But I would like to stress the fact that there is a lot of business that is being done and it is being done successfully. So deals are getting through. Chinese deals are getting through. Certainly non-Chinese deals are getting through very effectively. But most of them would benefit from a more strategic approach to CFIUS clearance. So it just comes back to those themes of know who the parties are and what the business transaction really is involved in, and then think about that strategically.
If you enjoyed that, you may be interested in listening to some of our other podcasts on cliffordchance.com. Or for more information on some of the topics we've covered today, have a look at our Boardroom Risk Hub, which covers the most persistent and pervasive risks impacting businesses. You've been listening to the Clifford Chance podcast. Please stay tuned for more coming soon to cliffordchance.com.